Be'ez Hashem Yisboch, we begin Perek Chamisha As, the 15th Perek in the Halachas of Yisur Biyah and Forbidden Relationships in the Sefer Gedusha, which we continue in the related vein of the previous program, discussing that of Geirim and Avadim, and now other categories of people that are forbidden to have relationships, specifically that of a mamzer, an illegitimate child, and certain situations of doubt. So the Ram Halacha Alf, Ram first qualifies what is a mamzer. Says Ezehu Mamzer Amar Batayra. This the Torah says in Devarim Lo Yovim Mamzer B'Kal Hashem, that a Mamzer cannot marry to the Jewish people. What's considered a Mamzer? Says Ram Zeha Bomei Erva Min Harayis. This comes from someone that has a relationship with one of our Rayis, which has a punishment mentioned specifically in the Torah. It's not just a negative prohibition. Specifically, that what's called an Erva. Chutz Min Anida. One exception to that rule is although a menstruating woman is considered an Erva. The child of that type of union is deficient, but the Eina Mamzer is not considered as an illegitimate child. So although the punishment of having a relation with a Nida is Karis, but since Kedushin it takes effect in the woman that's a Nida, and the Halacha Mamzer is dependent on those which there's no Tfisis, there's no Kedushin that takes effect. So that Mamzer is only when a man has relations with a woman that's forbidden to him as an Erva. Now, Avala Baal Shala Rayas. Now, in contrast to that of Nida, which we said the child is not a mamzer, but if a man's relations with all the other arayas, bein be'oynis, whether it was coerced, which the whole differentiation between if it was coerced or willingly is only regarding the punishments. But regarding this halacha of mamzer, whether it was coerced, bein beratzim, whether it was willingly, bein mezon, whether it was deliberately, bein mishtakog, whether it was by mistake, it doesn't make a difference. Havlod mamzer, the child from that union, is going to be considered an illegitimate child. Whether it's a male or a female, the child, a boy or girl, they're going to be forbidden forever to marry to the Jewish people. Like it says in the Pasuk in the Devarim, even the 10th generation, in other words, this Isser goes on forever. Now, halacha base. Whether the man, the father, is a mamzer who marries a Jewish woman, or a regular Jewish man that marries a woman that's a mamzeres, once, again, we're saying there's an Isser in the Torah to marry a mamzer, whether the man or the woman. So, kibin shabal achar kedushin, once they have relations after having gotten engaged, loikin, then they get lashes because they got married and had the bia. But, says the Rambam, kiddush b'lei bol, let's say they got married but didn't have cohabitation, and the loikin don't get lashes. Bol b'lei kiddush, let's say they had relations but didn't have the kedushin, which the negative prohibition is only loyove b'kal Hashem, and coming into the kal is only, the bia is only through kedushin. So then, enam loikin, here also, if you only had one and not the other, you're not going to get lashes. Now, interestingly, that the Rambam, the wording of the Rambam, he changes. By the case of the Kedushin without the Biyah, he writes in the singular Inam Loikim, he doesn't get lashes. By having relations and not doing Kedushin, he writes Inam Loikim in the plural. The reason that is because by Kedushin, even, you could say that essentially, even if there's a negative prohibition just on the Kedushin, but even so she wouldn't get lashes because she could have the Kedushin on her part without her doing anything, where if he just throws it into her courtyard with her consent, so regarding her, it's a lav shem b'maisa, so therefore she wouldn't get lashes. Therefore, by Kedushin, the Rambam writes, ein eloike, he doesn't get lashes, which the whole Kiddush is regarding him. On the Mekadosh, because she herself, of course, she'd be exempt from lashes, even if there was a negative prohibition on the Kedushin. But by the case of having cohabitation without Kedushin, he writes, ein eloike, that they don't get lashes. In other words, both of them, because the Kiddush there, she, even if she's so to speak passive in that, but she gets pleasure from that, she would be liable, and therefore the chiddush there is on both of them. But regarding the actual halacha of the Rambam, there are many who disagree with the Rambam on this, and actually the Rambam himself was asked about this halacha from the Chachmei Loinel, what's the source of this halacha? The Rambam explains it, but there are Rishonim, like the Ramban and others, that do not agree, and they hold that even just bia without kedushin would also get lashes by all negative prohibitions in the Torah, except for the Issur Kuna, Machzik Grushasa, when they get married, because there it says the terminology of Kicha, which means kedushin. But all other Arayis, not like the Rambam, would get lashes even if there wasn't kedushin. But the Rambam Shita is it has to have both kedushin and bia. But if let's say there's bia without kedushin, so Rambam says, Inam Loikim, they don't get lashes Meshumam Zeris, because of this Issur in the Torah of getting married to a Mzeres, but there would be lashes for a Loisi Kadesha of having relations with a woman that's out of wedlock. But because as Ram, Shein Lecho B'chol Chiyuv Elavin, because as Ram, you don't have any negative prohibitions, Misha Loika, to get lashes al Be'ilu B'le Kedushin. Shvedish relations without Kedushin. Elo Kohen Gadol B'amono, the only exception is that when a Kohen Gadol has relations with a widow, Kamoy she's bar, like the Ram is going to explain later on in Perek Yitzayin Halacha Gimel. And regarding if someone takes back his divorcee when she had already married someone else in the interim, they're havalad kasher. They're actually the child, it will be valid, meaning although that's going to be an exception to the rule, like the Isuri Kuhuna, where that, again, the Isur is only once you get married. Now, regarding if someone takes back his Grusha from when she got, so this is, the Rambam is telling us, here, regarding the Mazal Grusha Mishnissi, he says, Havlod Kasha, the child's actually going to be Kasha, which the Gemara in Yevamos learns out from Gzeis HaKasav, it says, Hita Eva, she's an abomination if he remarries the woman that he divorced who got married to someone else, which the Diyuk is Ve'im B'nei Eto Eva, but the children are not considered abomination. Now, the difficulty in this Rambam is, what's he picking out Mazal Grusha Mishnissi? He wrote in the beginning of this parag that the mom is only from Arayas, and he's saying that the child's Kasha Shari in the Erva because she's not an Erva, it's not like all those other ones where the child's going to be a Mamzer, so what's the Chiddush that the child's going to be a Kasha? What the Rambam is coming to address is because one would think that because, like we said, it says Te'eva by Machzik Rishasai, it'll be like a Rais. So the Rambam had to stress that no, it's just like all of the Chiyuv Lavin, which the child is not going to be a Mamzer. Halacha Gimel. Goyv Eved Rabo Bas Yisrael. If a Gentile or a slave has relations with a Jewish woman, Havod Kasher, the child is going to be Kasher, not a Mamzer. Meaning, in this way, it's better if a person that has an erva with this woman, he actually makes the child a mamzer, a Gentile or a slave, the child would not be a mamzer. And this is ben penuyah, whether the Jewish woman was single, ben be'eshes ish, whether she was a married woman, ben ma'ines, whether she was raped, ben beratzen, whether it was unwillingly. Now, goyve ever abo amal mamzeres, now if a Gentile or a slave has a relationship with a woman that is a mamzeres, so havlod mamzer, here the child will be a mamzer. The reason for that is because the child takes on the lineage of the mother. And the mother's mamzer, so he'll be a mamzer. Not because of the forbidden relationship of the Gentile with this Jewish woman. Now, umamza bala goya, but if a mamzer has a relation with a Gentile woman, havol goya, the child is a Gentile. Again, like we said, based on the mother. This guy, if he converts to be like his father, who's a Jewish man, that was a mamzer, hariyah kosher, kosher gerim, so he's valid, like all of the gerim. Conscious a mamzer can't fix himself by, so to speak, converting. Here he's going to be like all other gerim. Now, v'bala shefcha, if he gets married to a maidservant, havalat evan, the child is going to be a slave. Again, taking on that of the mother. Shechroi, if the master frees him, havalat kasher, kashavat meshechroi, so the child's kasher, like all other freed slaves, umut v'basi sol, and is permitted in a Jewish woman. Now, related to what Ram just said, there are certain situations of, like we said, a mamzer cannot enter in the Jewish people, his son, going on for all future generations. So how can you fix the situation of the children of mamzer? So this is from halacha dal. Zakal, this is the rule. Ben abam and eved, a son that comes from a slave, or from a Gentile, or from a maidservant, or from a non-Jewish woman, meaning whether the mother or father, hareyu ki'imai. The child always takes on the pattern of the mother. We don't pay attention to the father. Now, lefidav is based on this, they found an etzah, an idea for a mamzer. Because what should a mamzer do? His children forever are going to be forbidden to marry to the Jewish people. No, there's a way. Let the mamzer get married to a maidservant, to, so to speak, purify his children, his sons, because they're going to get married to the, he'll marry the shivcha, and it's his shivcha, and it takes after the mother, like we said. So the son is like a regular eved, not a mamzer like the father is. So now he can purify his son because Shem HaShav, he's going to free them. But Nimzim comes out, they're free Jewish men. And that's it. They're now kosher to marry into the Jewish people. And part of this chiddush is v'legazru al ha-shivcha. They didn't decree on the maidservant because the Rama had said previously in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Aleph, that a shivcha is forbidden to a regular Jewish man. No, they didn't make this decree on the shivcha l'mamzer when it comes to relation to marrying a mamzer, although he is a Jewish man. Netakan saban again, because of the rectification of the sons, that's the only way we can find a way out for the sons to be able to marry into the Jewish people. But someone who's half slave, half free man, let's say had two owners and one freed half his half and the other owner didn't. Habal Ishas Ish, who has relations with a married woman, so Isa ben Inli Takana. That son has no rectification, even like that which we said in the previous halacha of marrying a shivcha. The reason for this is they should tzad mamzeris, but tzad kashas muravambay. Because here you have the element of mamzeris, which you have the free part, which is like a Jewish man has a relationship with a married woman, that the child is a mamzer. So on one half, meaning his father was half Jewish, who had relations with a married woman. So that part of the child is a mamzer, and you have the tzad kashrus that's mixed in because on the fact that half of his father was an eved has relations with a Jewish woman. Actually, the child is kasher, even though she was a married woman, like I said in Halacha Gimel. So the fikach, therefore, he's stuck, because us to be shivcha, you can't even do what we said in the previous halacha, because rabbinically he's not allowed to marry a shivcha, because on the half of him that's kosher, that's not a mamzer, it's forbidden to marry a shivcha. So he's stuck, he can't even do that idea about marrying a shivcha. So when the bond becomes that his children that are born in this prohibition are kamay shalayim, are going to be for, like him forever, where his sons also have that same stuckness, like his children will also be forbidden to marry a Jewish woman and to marry a shivcha. So they'll be stuck forever and won't be able to have this tikkun. Halach above. Groy habal shivcha shetavle. If a Gentile has relations with a maidservant that immersed herself for the purposes of becoming a Jewish slave woman. So harei zeh evet. So the child is going to be a slave. Like a regular shivcha, that the child will be like the mother. Now, if you have a slave that immersed himself to be a Jewish slave, that he had relations with a Gentile woman, so again, havlod goy, the child's going to be a Gentile. Like we said, halech acharem, you go after the mother. Now, aval goy habal shivcha goy, but if a Gentile has relations with a Gentile maidservant, meaning that she didn't immerse herself for the purposes of being like a Jewish slave, oy evet goy, or if you have a Gentile slave, again, who also didn't tevel, shabal goy bascharin, who had relations with a free Gentile woman, here, halich achar zachar. Here, actually, you're going to go after the father, after the male, because, as the Rambam said in Perikid Beis, that regarding the Gentiles, when they're non-Jewish, you go after the male, after the father. So since they didn't tevel, although they're, so to speak, slaves for Jewish people, they still have the status as Gentiles, and they don't have the halachic status of Adam Shemachas to go based on the mother, here you're going to go based on the father. Halacha Zayin, the Rambam continues regarding, so what is the status with Mamzerim and Mamzeris? Who could they marry? They can't marry a regular Jewish person. And as it relates to the previous parak of that of Geir, says Ram Mamzer, an illegitimate child, with the union of the parents were arayis to each other, Mutalisa Geirs, so he's allowed to get married to somebody, not a regular Jewish woman, but a female convert. Mamzer, so too, if the product of that forbidden union was a female, Mutalisa like her, she permitted to get married to Geir, and Vaban Mishnei Mamzerim, the children from either one of those unions are going to be mamzerim, because the child goes after the more deficient of whichever parent it is, which in either case, one of the parents are mamzerim. Shemek says, in the pasuk, why are they allowed to marry a ger, a female married Jewish person? Because it says, b'kal Hashem, they can't enter the assembly of Hashem. Kal gerim, in a kori kal Hashem, although gerim have a status like a Jewish person, but they're not considered kal Hashem, and therefore they're allowed to marry ger. Now, halacha ches, ger shenisis leger, a female convert that got married to a male convert. But Elida ben had a son, although he was conceived and given birth when the parents were already Jewish, still that child, although he himself is not even ger, is permitted to marry a mamzer. And ben benoi, and even his son, until they lose the name of even, no one even knows that they were at one point even gerim, mimenu, no one even knows that he was a convert, only then will that child, great-great-great-great-grandchild of gerim, only then will he be forbidden to marry mamzer. And the echad gerim, echad abam shachram, and whether we're talking about gerim or freed slaves, then echad gomah has the same halacha. Again, the children, even if they're full-fledged Jewish, if we know that they came from that lineage, would be permitted. It's only when we don't know that, then they would be forbidden in mamzeret. Halacha test. Ger shenosa vas yisrael. If a convert married a Jewish woman, which therefore that's not no less than a Gentile who has relation with a Jewish woman, which we said the child is going to be kosher and not a mamzer, and therefore forbidden in mamzeret. Or if a Jewish man marries a Geiris, the child has a halacha like a Jew for all practical purposes, and is forbidden to marry a mamzeres. Now, halacha Yud Ram qualifies that it's actually three different types of mamzer. Shleisha mamzerim, there's three categories of mamzer. You have mamzer vadi, a definitive mamzer. Mamzer safik, a doubtful mamzer. Mamzer the reserved man, you have a rabbinic mamzer. As Ram explains, mamzer vadi, what's considered the definite mamzer? So this comes from a definite forbidden relation that the Torah talks about commercial band, like we explained in Halacha Aleph, that if it's forbidden based on the Erev, the Torah talks about the child's going to be a mamzer. Now, you have a mamzer safik, you have a doubtful mamzer, which Rambam says in Hilchas Ishus in the fourth parak, if this child is a union of, it was a doubtful Erev. How do you have a doubtful Erev? For example, Habala Isha, if a man has relations with a woman, that it's doubtful if there was a kedushin. He threw it to her, it's not clear if it went closer to him, closer to her. Or in his gorgeous vegarishin, or we're not clear if she was divorced or not. Okay, it's a man, if it seemed like that, where it's a suffix erva, so the child's going to be a suffix mamzer. And then you have Medivri Seifim. Then you have a mamzer from rabbinic law, which Rama speaks about in Hilchas Gershon in Perikei. A woman heard that her husband died, so she got remarried. Actually, it turns out that her husband is still alive. Now, here the case is talking about Uvav Vaila Rishnalel. Then her first husband came and had relations with her. But she's still with the second husband. From here, the child is rabbinically as a mamzer. The reason for that is because she didn't get divorced from the second husband, because rabbinically she requires divorce from the second husband. So rabbinically she's considered like a married woman. So the child born from that union, from the first husband with the wife, is rabbinically as a mamzer, because in contrast, actually, if the second husband divorced her, even though she is forbidden to remarry the first person, as the Rambam explains over there in Hilchas, Gerushin, the child is not going to be a mamzer because no less than the Machzik Grushasa, which we said in Halacha Beis, the child is not going to be a mamzer. Now, the Rambam continues in Halacha Aleph regarding the trustworthiness of the mother regarding her child. What's the paternity of the child? Is the child a mamzer? Who did she give birth from which man? As the Rambam says in Halacha Aleph, Penu Yishin is Abba Biznus, a single girl who became pregnant from promiscuous relationship. And Omlo, they said to her, Mahu Ubaze, what's this fetus? Are you Lazel? This child that you have? You're not married. So Imram, she says, Ben Kashu, he's a kosher son, meaning Ulisol Nevalti, because had relations with a Jewish man. He's in the Menach, she's believed. Ben Kashu, the child is kosher. Valpi Shareva Ishazansa Babasum, even the majority of the people of the city that she was, that to be Mizana with, who could be having relations with her, are invalid. Alat Mamzerim in the Sinim, which would actually make the child into a Mamzer. She's believed to say that it was from a regular Yisrael, which is not an erva, and the child is kasher. Now halachid base, but let's say v'mloy nevduki imoy at shemesa. They didn't get a chance to inspect the mother about what was this baby that she had until she died. Or she was deaf mute or mentally deranged, where you can't get the answer from her. Or actually, they did ask her, and she says, "You know, I had relations. You know that mom's there in town. It was that man that I had relations with." Now, what's important to know is that the woman's only believed to validate her child and not to invalidate. Because only the father's believed to invalidate and not the mother, because as we can learn later on, the father says Yaker, he's able to give that recognition. So even if the mother says, yeah, the father was a mamzer, oh, you'll play now to that man that's a nasan, which also has the equivalency of like mamzeres, which is from the Nesinim, which Ram had explained in the previous parak, who these people are. A fellow Asa playing, might have been, and even if that man, he admits, he says, yeah, I had a relation with that woman. Hariza Hayilid Sveik Mamzer. The child's only a doubtful mamzer. Because why? They're both agreeing. Kashem Shazin Samzer Shahidla, because just like she admitted that she had znus with that man who she's agreeing to, Kavzin Zamacha, she's promising with someone else. And maybe the father actually was kosher and the child is now forbidden in the mamzeres because we can't not qualify him as a definite mamzer to be permitted in mamzeres because could be the father was kosher. We don't know who the other man that she had a relation with. So at most, it's a Safek mamzer. This is the child is called a shtuki, which from the word of silencing him. He recognizes his mother, but he doesn't know definitely who his father is. Where he says tati, they silence him because we don't know for sure if that is tati. Halacha gimel. So too, there's a similar halacha of a child who is found in the marketplace, found in the street, an abandoned baby. Sufi is called a sufi from being gathered in because it was just abandoned. Also, it's doubtful if this child is a mamzer. We don't know what's the status of this child. Might have been the parents were forbidden to each other. Now, halach yadal. Let's say a single girl is a mezana. She acts promiscuously and she says, Benze ben plenihu. You know this child that I had is from fathered from that man. So it might say plenty kosher. If that man is a kosher person, meaning that it wouldn't make the child a mamzer, or even kosher. So the child is kosher because she's believed to say that, as we said before in Halach Yidav, to say that I had relations with a kosher man. But the ain't a man that should not believe, let's say, to exempt that man's wife from, let's say, Yibum or to inherit him. Leah is to say that Zeb Benoi shall plainly to say, oh, that this is the son of that person. She could do it in a way to validate her son, but not to make him, like, let's say, inherit that man's estate. Now, but says Rami earlier, it seems to me we are concerned for her words because of the stringency related to Arayis, and that v'yiha ben also b'krevis eisa plenim esafik. Out of doubt, the son who she's claiming is from that man, which she believed not that he shouldn't be a mamzer, he's still the child. Although he won't inherit that man, but he will be forbidden in the relatives of that person. Out of doubt. Now, if that man who she's claiming was from is a mamzer, She's not believed to make her son definitively a mamzer based on what she's saying. Like we explained, in Aluchid Beis, at the most, the child's going to be a delta mamzer. Now that's regarding the mother and her child. Now in Aluchid Tezvot, the Rambam talks about the trustworthiness of the father regarding his son. It says Rambam, of Shehosik Shezabinoi, but a father that we have a presumption, their family, that this is his son. V'amani says, "B'ni zeh mamzer, who this son of mine? He's a mamzer, meaning he was a union from me, and his mother was forbidden from arayas. Neman, he's believed to say that his son is a mamzer, not like the mother. And v'im yesh laben banim, but if the son has his own sons, ain't a menim, then the father is not believed. Shloimino is a Torah a little bit, because the father only believes in the Torah only believes the father regarding his son, like it says in the pasuk in the Devarim, because the firstborn son ben asnua, the son of the hated one, meaning his mother was hated, yakir." Meaning hated because of the Torah, that he was actually forbidden to marry his mother, Yaakov he will recognize, which this pasuk is really by the laws of inheritance, which the first one takes two portions. The Torah says, Yaakov, that the Chum Darshan, the father is believed to say, that to make a recognition that this is his firstborn son, which is Yaakov Yirin Lachem, it can let it be known to others, he's believed to say, what's the status that, yeah, the mother was hated, because this child is actually a mamzer. And that's only the father who has that nemanus. Now, halacha design, k'shem shenema lemet, just like he's believed to say, b'ni zeh b'char, this son, and this explanation of the previous pasuk, which then proves the concept they were saying, the father's believed to say is mamzer, just like he's believed to say, b'ni zeh b'char, this my son is a firstborn, so that he gets a double portion, k'shem shenema lemet, so he's believed to say, b'ni zeh mamzer, my son, because from based on the concept of yaker, this son is a mamzer, a ben gerusha ben chalutza, the son of a divorcer, the son of a chalutza, and v'chein meisa, meaning if he's a kain, v'chein meisa ish the mubar, so to his wife was pregnant. Nemalim is believed to say, this fetus is not my son, umamzu, and he's a mamzer. And there is going to be a definite mamzer again because the father's belief. Now, if a person says regarding himself that he's a mamzer, so Neman lesser atzma vasi Yisrael, he's believed to make himself forbidden in a regular Jewish woman because he's making himself forbidden and he's believed on himself, but he's still going to be forbidden to marry mamzers because he's not believed to permit a mamzer, which is forbidden a regular Jewish man. Until we know definitively that he's a mamzer, and then the B'nai Kamayu, then since he believed regarding himself, we believe him regarding his son is also a mamzer, because the father is a mamzer, and the mamzer's son is a mamzer. Now, but if he has grandsons, so his son has sons, then he's not believed to invalidate his son's sons, and hence, believes then actually he's only going to be able to invalidate himself, not even the son, because that would inherently be an implication of the grandchildren, and he's not believed on them when they're around already, so therefore, he would only be believed regarding himself. Halachi Yedzayim. Arusa Shinisabra, if an engaged woman becomes pregnant, and she's still by her father's house because she never got married yet, her husband never took her to his house, mamzer. So the child has a presumption of being a mamzer, which, suffering mamzer, not a definite mamzer, because where is this child from? And therefore that son would be forbidden to marry a Jewish woman, but he's still forbidden mamzer, because we don't know for sure if he's a mamzer. Now, if the mother's inspected and she says, my cousin is who I got pregnant from. So in a manner, she's believed, like we had said in the previous halacha, about the kasha, and the child's kasha, because it's from a man that's not erva to her. Now, but let's say her cousin, the one she's engaged to, denies and says, it's not true, I never had a relation with her. So the child's going to be a mamzer. Because even if, as we had said previously, even if we knew and presumed that this was his son, and he says, Beniza Mamzer, my son is a Mamzer, Neman, he's believed, like we said in the previous halacha. So here for sure, we don't even know for sure that it was anything with the chassan because she was in her father's household, for sure he's believed to say that it's not him, and therefore the child is going to be a Safik Mamzer. Now, Vishah in Becheska Zaina, and the child's actually going to be a Mamzer because here the chassan is denying what the woman is claiming, and we don't believe what the woman is saying regarding, and we're back to the question then of who it's from, not from him, which the woman is forbidden to actually everyone because she's an Eishes Ish. So then the child is going to be a mamzer. Now the isha in becheska zayna, but the woman herself actually she does not get the status of a harlot because el nemenes lemes, she's believed to say for herself la'aris nevalti. No, I did have relations with my chassan. Then that wouldn't make her a zayna. So hence, when this lekoin, she gets married to a kohen, loisei, she doesn't have to leave that relationship, which the kohen is forbidden the zayna. Now, initially, she is forbidden because ultimately her chassan is denying what she's saying. But if she got married, she doesn't have to leave. But vodim and the kasha, and the child from that union with her husband, the kohen actually would be kasha. Now, let's say the people were gossiping about her. Because via Rusa, they're saying she's engaged. And they're saying that she's having relations in Marusa with her chas and v'manosh machem, with other men. Now, Ava Bishabola Rusa Babis Khamav, so although that we know that the chasin had relations with her when in his father-in-law's household, still there is this fake mamzer. The child is a doubtful mamzer. Of course, Kashem Shef Kir Asim La Rusa, just like she was promiscuous with her, the one she was engaged to, if Kir Lachem, she also made herself hefker to other men. And we don't know who the father was. And any other man is an erva because she's an Eishes Ish, because Kedushin already makes her into Eishes Ish. Now, but if she was checked and inspected and interrogated, and she said, this fetus is from my chasen, it's a kasher. Again, it's mikasher kibushin, like we explained, which is believed to say that it was from a kasher person, which in this case is only if it's her chasen. Halacha yates. If a married woman was pregnant, she says, I know I'm married, but this fetus is not from my husband, from some other man. She's not believed to invalidate this child. The son retains the presumption of validity. Like we said, the Torah only believes for the paternity of the child, only the father. Now, let's say the father says, however, it's not my son. Well, the father was overseas, where it wasn't possible to be from him. Then the child does have a presumption to be a mamzer, meaning a safi mamzer, because maybe actually the man who did have a relation with her with a Gentile, and actually then the child would not be a mamzer, would be kosher. Because although a married woman is forbidden to any man, that's Jewish man, but a Gentile actually would not make it into a mamzer. Now, let's say mamzer megoy ve'evin is about, let's say she says, I became pregnant, conceived from a Gentile or from a slave. So then, like we just said, the child actually would be kosher. And she'ina bal yochel ha'kish with the rebbe, because here the husband cannot refute what she's saying, because he doesn't know who it was, he knows it wasn't him, but it could have been from a Gentile or from a slave, and therefore the child is going to be kosher, if she's claiming that that's what it was. And more of another important idea is, the fetus cannot retain itself in the mother's womb more than 12 months. So therefore, the child can only be kosher as being from the husband if he left within the last 12 months. If he's already away for a year, it's not possible to be from the husband, then we have to know that it definitely came from another man. The married woman, this rumor is going around that she was mezana with another man, even though she's married with her husband. And everyone's murmuring about her. We're not concerned that her children are mamzerim. The reason is of a chazaka of a roiv shrei beilis zabal. We say most cohabitations are with the husband, and the laws of the majority are telling us that the paternity of the child is the father. And therefore, one is permitted to marry this woman's daughter even initially. However, the woman herself, we do suspect her because of what people are saying, that she's a harlot, and therefore it would be forbidden to a kayin, and one shouldn't marry such a woman. Now, but if she was very promiscuous, then even for her children, we are concerned that maybe the children are mamzerim. Now, the Rambam moves on to continue on this theme about mamzerim in situations of doubt, Safik Mamsur, which that relates to Allah that we mentioned of Shtuki Vasufi. Says Ram Din Tara, according to biblical law, Shasvik Mamzer, a doubtful Mamzer, is actually mutu love because it's actually permitted to marry into the Jewish people. Shemak says in the Pasik, Lo Yove Mamzer Bakal Hashem. A Mamzer should not come into the assembly of Hashem, which that means a Mamzer Vade Asalova Bakal. A definitive Mamzer is forbidden to marry into Jewish people, but lay Safik, but not if the person is doubtful. Now, of a Chum also Malabiyuchazin, but the sages, they made elevated status regarding that of ancestry, regarding marriage. And they said it's forbidden rabbinically, even the Safik Mamzer, to marry into the Jewish people. Now, Lafikach, therefore, Mamzer Vadai, a definite Mamzer, Mutalisa Mamzeris Vados. So, if you have a definite Mamzer, it's permitted in a definite Mamzeris, because both of them are not Kal Hashem, and they're permitted to intermarry. Of a Mamzer Safik, but of doubtful Mamzer, Oishtuki, which we already explained, which we don't know who the father is, so we don't know which either parent is, Aslisa Vasisol, it's forbidden to marry a Jewish woman, because although they're all a status of Safik, rabbinically, that's forbidden to marry to the Jewish people. Halacha base. V'asalis mamzeres. It's also forbidden for these that we just said, the mamzer safik, the shtuk, and the sufi, to marry a mamzeres, because although they're forbidden to marry a Jewish woman, because they might be mamzer, on the other hand, they might not be mamzer. So, and if you're a regular Jewish man, you're not allowed to marry mamzeres. V'afil mamzeres means safik asurle. And even the doubtful mamzeres is forbidden to these doubtful mamzer, let's say. We don't know. Each one is doubt. Maybe one of them is not a mamzer. Maybe the other one is definitively a mamzer. And if either one, now you can't marry the other one, which one is a mamzer, one's not. Now, mamzer shal devreim. However, let's say they're both rabbinically mamzer. Then he's allowed to marry a rabbinic mamzer because they have the same status. So to other doubts are forbidden to marry one with the other, because again, one might be a problem and one might not be a problem. But if they're both biblically or rabbinically mamzer and mamzeres, then they would be permitted to marry each other. How so? So he explains. Shtukim asufim musvig mamzer, which are all situations of doubtful mamzeres, asuri lo bezeh mezeh. They're forbidden to marry each other, because either one might be problematic. We don't know who this abandoned child is. Might be mamzer, might not be mamzer, and the other one might, yeah, might not. Now, vim nasu, if they get married, lo yikamu, they're not allowed to sustain that marriage. Elo yitziu beget, rather they have to get divorced with a get. And the reason why you require a get, although it's forbidden to the marriage, because it's only chiv alavin, and kedushin takes effect in chiv alavin. And mavol tzafik, and the child from that union would be doubtful, kavosav, like his father who's doubtful. Now, the ilas vikas il takana, says Ram, there's no rectification for these situations of doubt for them to get married to a woman. Ela shiisim nagirim. The only idea is to marry converts, because mamzerim, mamzeris, even if they are or not, any a Jew or a mamzer is permitted to marry a gir. And vavol, then the child is going to go after the more deficient one of the parents, whatever the consequences is. Halachav dal sizram kitzit, how so? So he explains. Shtuki a Sufi, if you have a shtuki or a Sufi, which are these doubtful children of their paternity, shenasa gir is mishachares, which they married a gir, it's mishachares, which they're allowed to. Oy ger or mishuchar, or the other way around. If the man is a ger or mishuchar, shenasa shtuki a Sufi, they married the female, the shtuki a Sufi. The lesser of the two is shtuki a Sufi, and it's going to have the lesser of either parent. Alochav hey, hasufi shoy beir shish begoyim. Let's say this abandoned child was in a city where there are Gentiles. Now, bein shoy reb goyim or reb yisrael, whether the majority are Gentiles or the majority are Jews, doesn't make a difference. There's still a doubt of being a Gentile. Hareiz a sveik goy lini yechis. And so regarding marriage, is a doubt that he's a Gentile. Now, kiddush isha, if he gets engaged to a woman, so tzrichi get misafik. Out of doubt, it's going to require a get, and because maybe he is a Jew. And we have a general rule that kol kavu, or whatever is established, it's kemech seretz, it's always considered like 50-50, even though it's really 80-20, 90-10, or 60-40, it's going to be like 50-50. So, not allowed to get married, because maybe he's a Gentile. If he did get married, well, might be a Gentile, never not allowed to be, but you require a get, because maybe he is a Jew. And Misha Rog, if someone kills this doubtful person, the murderer would not get executed, even in the city with the majority of Jews, because, again, we don't know definitively that he was a Jew. So you can't execute the person who killed him. Now, but let's say in Halacha Chavav, says Ram, Hitbilu Bezdin, L'shem Gez. Let's say the court, they went and they tabled him for the purposes of being a convert. This baby, who the courts are allowed to do this, even without the child's consent. Oisha told him, Mishahigdal. Or he himself, when he became an adult, he told him the mikvah. So Harei Kushar Asufman Hamtsam Ba'or Yisrael. So now he's like all other Asufim that are found in Jewish cities, where, so although we know that he's not a Gentile, because it's a purely Jewish city, but he has halacha like a Safik Mamzer, which, because maybe it was from although Jewish parents, but arise one to the other. So the tefillah is going to be effective to just remove him from the status of being a Gentile. So that's why it's like a Asufi found in a Jewish city, but not to remove him from the status of being a Safik Mamzer. And the chiddush here is, even though there's really a svek sveka, because maybe it's a Gentile and he converted, and even the Jewish, maybe it's not a mamzer, but again, regarding yuchas, and we're stringent even by two svekas, even in this case where the suffix is maybe he's a mamzer and it's not even biblically problematic like other svekas, which are usher, we're saying that it's going to be ultimately like a suva that's found in the Jewish city. Now, let's say how you really fit your good. Let's say the majority of the inhabitants of the city were actually Gentiles and didn't convert, meaning this child. So mutl achil nevelas. In that situation, this child actually is allowed to eat not kosher, because when the majority of inhabitants are non-Jewish, so then we do go with kohol chamach rabbi, go based on the majority regarding eating prohibited foods, regarding kashrus. Now, here we're not going to say, oh, what me kol kavua, mechza mechza, maybe he's Jewish, because ultimately we say called the parish merubah parish, because not permanent, it's not stationary, it's actually, the child was removed from the stationary, which you go after the majority. It's only by yuchasin, and by married woman that we stringent, like we said in halacha chafei. But regarding this, we'll go after the majority and we're allowed to feed him not kosher. Now, harum yisrael, if that's the majority of inhabitants of the city are Jewish, the mechzirun avadasik yisrael, we give him back his lost object like a Jewish man. Let's say mechza mechza, let's say 50-50, Jewish and non-Jewish. Then mitzvah lachayisik yisrael, it's a mitzvah to keep him alive like a Jewish person, out of doubt. And even mefakchen alav is a gabbat Shabbos. Let's say a building collapses, we're allowed to clear the rubble to get him a Shabbos because it's ultimately suffik b'koch nefashas, because he might be Jewish, which is deicha Shabbos. And by rehul in yizakin kachol suffik mamon. Regarding the laws of damage, he's like any doubt of money, because we don't know if he's Jewish or not. If he could collect from us or not. Which we say, whoever's coming to exclude from extract from his friend, he has to bring the proof. He's going to have to bring the proof that he's Jewish and not a Gentile. A halacha of Zayin, says the Rambam. Yerali, it appears to me, if that whole town has at least one maidservant or a non-Jewish woman who's fit to have a child, so because of this, that it's not totally Jewish, there is at least one maidservant or one non-Jewish woman, so any abandoned child that's found over there is sveig goya, sveig eved. Ultimately, it's kol kavua, kemetz samechta, at least regarding this halacha. So there's a doubt. Maybe the child's from that one non-Jewish woman or slave, so he's doubtfully as a Gentile or as a slave. Therefore, says the Rambam, kishayisa hagiyaris, when this child marries a giyaris, commissioner, like we explained previously, that the only way out, we don't know his status. So in Allah Chav Gimel, said the only one he can marry is a giyaris. But ultimately, harezu sveik eshesish. His wife is not even the definitive eshesish for any man having relations with her to be punished as a married woman. It's only suffic eshesish. Because maybe he's not really married to her, like a Gentile. He might be Gentile. So she's a suffic eshesish. And v'habo ala potter. And therefore, whoever has relations with her is going to be exempt. She ain't hargan al suffic, because we don't execute based on situations of doubt. And says Rambam, chen yirali, so too it appears to me, shashtuki shenasa isha, if a shtuki marries a woman, she'efshe she'i ervelab, where it's possible that the woman is erva to him, because we don't know who his father is. It could be she's related to him, this wife that he's marrying. So different v'hareis v'keishis, ultimately his wife is also a sofekishis, not definitively, she'en kedushin tefsim barayis, because if she is an erva to him, if the wife is erva to the husband, could be, then she's not typhus, so she's not a married woman. And therefore, actually, in that case, if a man has relations with that married woman, would not get executed because it's only a suffix issue. As Ram explains, he says, what's this wife that's possibly an ervatim? So he explains, call Isha, any woman, that her father or brother was alive, when the mother of this shtuki became pregnant, which we know who the mother, we just don't know who the father is. If this woman's father or brother was alive when the chassan's mother became pregnant, so maybe this wife is his sister or his father's sister. And so too, any woman that was divorced or widowed and her previous husband was around when the chassan's mother became pregnant, his wife now might really be his father's wife, or his uncle's wife, his father's brother's wife. And then she's actually an heir of him. And because of that suffix, this wife is actually only a suffix. Now, but then the Ram continues, Allah Chavtes, wait a second, how do you even get to the situation? How is he allowed to marry the woman then if she might be an heir? So says Ram, where do I know to say, we don't say the Shtuki Vasubi is forbidden any woman, meaning she'ef 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 love, like we said, if she might be an heir to him. No. Because a kosher son, which we inspected the mother, I mean, the mother is believed to say, oh, it's from a kosher person, and we believe the son to be kosher. He's not forbidden to any woman that possibly an erev on him. As the Rambam brings a proof. It says in the term, don't desecrate your daughter to have her having znus with people. But Amacham, the Seder said, what does this mean? If you do this, that your daughter is just free to have a relation with any man, we're not going to know who's a child of what, and it's going to come out a father's going to be marrying his daughter, and a brother's marrying his sister. So says the Rambam, and if the law would be, whoever does not know definitely who his father is, would be forbidden any woman that's possibly an Erbanim. So what do you mean? What's chacham? What are we concerned for in this pasuk? We would never come to this problem. Like the way Chazal say, we wouldn't come to this situation, although the world would be filled with licentiousness, because they're not allowed to. If you don't know who the father is, you can't get married. So what are you saying? A father would be marrying a daughter and a brother would be marrying a sister? So the Ram Holomato, so therefore obviously learn, she'ain ois marayis. We don't make arayis forbidden, umachzikin oisam, b'shei basam, b'savik, and to presume that, oh, maybe out of doubt, that this person that he wants to marry is his relative. Until you know definitively that this woman is a forbidden erev on him. Because if you would say that it would be forbidden, all orphans in the world that never knew who their father was would be eternally forbidden to get married, because they might be marrying someone that's never to them. And we don't say that. And therefore, the shtuki is permitted, we just say that the wife ultimately will not be mechayev someone else because of the suffix of Eish HaSish. Now, Halacha Lamed, the Ram continues regarding the trustworthiness of the parents as it comes to this asufi, this abandoned orphan child. Not orphan from the death of the parents, but that just was abandoned. As Ram says, Havala Chayi Mushlag Baderech, a child that was thrown on the street, meaning was just abandoned on the road. A person comes along and he says, Benihu, it's really my son. Vanish Lachna, I threw him to the side of the road. Neman is believed. So the mothers believe to say that's really their child. But let's say Nesem Neshuk, let's say the child was already asufi, already gathered from the street already, by other people that had compassion, took the child in. And then subsequently the father and the mother came and they said to those who adopted this baby, oh, Beneinu, it's our son. Not believed anymore. The child already got the title of an abandoned child, of a gathered in child. You can't remove that anymore. The child's already forbidden with the prohibitions of an asufi. But in a famine year, in a hunger year, then the mother's parents are believed, even subsequently. It's because of the famine that they threw him to the street. It's just they want, it was a ploy that other merciful people should have compassion on the child and feed the baby. That's why they were silent until he was gathered in. Usually it's a reyesa, but here it's not going to be because that was exactly their ploy, and therefore they still believed even after the child was already gathered in. Now, halacha lamed alef. Now let's say the child who was found was actually circumcised. Or he was wrapped up in garments the way babies are usually wrapped up. Or the child was salted, which is a certain procedure that stabilizes the baby's limbs. Or he had this certain dye that was used for the eyes of the baby. Or there was an amulet in the neck for the protection of the child. Or the child was found in an interwoven tree, which you could tell that a wild animal can't get to the baby. And it was close to the city, or the baby was found in a shul that's near the public domain, or on the sides of the public domain. In those situations, that child does not have the halakhic status as an asufi. Why? You could obviously tell that the parents put the baby in a way that the baby should be protected not to die. So the cheskes kashu, meaning if a child's a mamzu, you could say that the parents didn't want this child, and whatever should happen, child should just be gone. Here you obviously see that they really cared about the baby. The baby was, they just couldn't afford or whatever it was. So we have a presumption that the child is a valid child. Because in contrast, when you find the child just thrown in the middle of the street, or very far from the city, even if it's under a tree, or in a shul, which is not near the people, or hanging from a tree, a place where wild animals can get to, then that's considered an abandoned child, and then we presume that it probably was from some type of a mamzer relationship. Halacha lamed beis. Now, nemenes chayoloimer, mialedes, a midwife is believed to say, zeh ben kohen, this child, I'm the midwife here, this child is the son of a kohen. A levi, or the father's a levi, a nasan, or from the nesinim, a mamzer, she's believed. The reason, because there's no presumption. We don't know any lineage. No, there's a fresh new baby. There's no status on it yet. So therefore, she could imprint her testimony regarding the status. Now, says Ram Medvamum, when we say this, it's only if this midwife has a presumption of trustworthiness. And no one's contesting what she's saying. But if even one person contesting her and saying, either she's lying, then she's not believed. Therefore the child's going to have a presumption of validity, like any baby, but the child won't have any yichus, any lineage, because ultimately we don't know exactly, she's meaning if the Mialedis is saying he's a Kayin, that the father's a Kayin, we don't believe her, and the child's going to be kosher, but he's not going to have the yichas of the father being a Kayin. Now, Allah Chalam Gimel Rambam sums it all together, and regarding the laws of Amzeris that he spoke about in this parak, it says, Dava Bar, what's clear is like this, Shashtuki asa lisa shtukis. A shtuki is forbidden to marry shtukis, Vasuvi asa basuvi neshem svekis. Like we said, even though they both have, quote unquote, the same shtuki or asuvi status, but that's not a definitive status. We don't know either one, so one might be a mamza, one might not be, and therefore they're forbidden to marry each other. Avamzerim vadoim and asinim, but the finger of mamzerim and the sinim, which have the same aloha as mamzerim, mutam lovezebezeb, are permitted to marry each other, and vavola mamzer, like the parents, the child's going to be a mamzer. Now, shtuki and asufi, which are doubtful, are permitted to marry nesinim and other gerim, because they have the halacha like gerim, which again, gerim are permitted in mamzerim and Jewish people. And vaval tzavik, but the child again is going to have the tzavik, because you go like the pachas shebish name, the pogam shebish name, and since one parent is a shtuki asufi, again, which we don't know what the status is, the child will have that same suffix status as the parents.